than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and a brand new app you guys can now check us out on called Satchel. I don't know if anybody has checked that out yet.
It's not a purse, it's a satchel.
It's a satchel. It's manly.
It's a satchel, yes.
Let us know what you guys think of
Indiana
Satchel.
Jones, Indiana Jones has one.
If Indiana Jones has one, it's okay with me. Let me know what you guys think.
That's from The Hangover. Nobody knows, obviously.
Right. Let me know what you guys think of Satchel. If you enjoy that app, it's a new podcast app that's out there. We just signed up for it. Let us know what you think, and maybe that'll be a new podcast app that we promote. But anyway, let's get down to it. It is time for the Red Eye Review. I'm Brandon. That's Josh. We got lots to talk about here. I'm thinking we should rename this podcast, though, from The Call to It's Not Pretty. Because that is the type of games that the Ravens play. They are not pretty games. They are not something that you can sit back and relax and watch. They are down to the wire. They are dirty. They are gritty games. Josh, you and I got to watch a little bit of the game together. This was a Ravens team. While a lot of people are upset with how the first half went, and I am too, this really shows you how mature the Ravens are. Look, they played an entire 60-minute game. They didn't wear themselves out. They were able to come from behind. It's the second biggest deficit in franchise history. This is a historic game we saw on Sunday.
Dude, I don't even know where to begin, man. I mean, this team puts us through the ringer, man. I mean, from just how Super Bowl 47 was and how we had the big lead and then we lost it and you're like, oh my God, now I gotta actually feel emotions now instead of celebrating. So it's just the way I begin here, Brandon, as I'm tripping over my words with excitement, is how resilient and how these Ravens fight, bro. I mean, we watched it together. I mean, I know me and you were like beside ourselves when they scored their third touchdown, and we're like, and when Isaiah Crowell ran that long pass, I'm like, we've got to be kidding me. Like, they didn't look like they get off the plane, didn't they?
No, this was a team that looked like it wasn't prepared for Sunday. It looked like a team that was kind of brushing this one off. You bring up a lot. You talked about this last podcast, that this team plays down to who they're playing against. They don't dictate the play. They let the other team do that. You brought that up, I think, last week. I was kind of like, yeah, you know, I see what you're saying, but man, this past game, I saw that. I mean, that it was evident that the Ravens were playing down to the Browns and their style of play. It completely solidified what you said.
Absolutely, bro. I mean, the way that things happen, I mean, 20-0, 20. I was even looking at the box score. I mean, 20-2 at the end of the first quarter, and then you look at the box score, it's goose eggs the rest of the way for the Browns. They didn't score a single point. The defense had on lockdown, and we talked about this. I wanted to lead this on the show, but how incredible, and dating back to last year in Monday Night Football, again, we have the Browns later in the year at home on Thursday night. That's going to be epic. But we were talking about this. Just think about this for a second, everybody. The Ravens in Monday Night Football, we're a few goals away from losing. I know the season was lost cause, and we weren't going to make any noise in the playoffs. We weren't even going to make it. But the field goal gets blocked. Will Hill returns it for the game-winning walk-off touchdown. Epic, epic way to end the game. It was exciting, epic. One of the five wins we had last year, and it was an epic win. 20-0. The Ravens are back in Cleveland, down 20-0 on a Sunday afternoon, and all the Ravens fans are bleep, 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 this and bleep, bleep, that and throwing stuff and trying to scratch their heads. I know I was like, I didn't know what to do because it was just nuts. blocks an extra point, returns it for two, sparks the comeback. There's the first two of the 25 unanswered points and straight points that we ended the game with. How incredible is that? You can't even script that, bro.
I mean, that was something that, you know, whenever a team is down by that amount, it always says, you know, you're always looking for that one play, that one thing to really drive you and really get you going. And that was 100% what turned this team around. I mean, they were looking down in the dumps. They were, again, playing down to the Browns. But after that 2 points, the Ravens were, like, re-energized. They were ready to go. They were playing a lot better football. I mean, if it wasn't for those 2 points, I think the game really would have gotten out of hand. I don't know if we would have been able to come back from that.
No, not at all. And it's kind of funny you mention that, because how they started out slow, that you can only get away with that for so long.
Yeah.
But if you play Jacksonville, who's coming up this Sunday, who can put up points, they have an offense. If you do this against New England, you do this against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, even probably Denver now. You're going to lose the game 100% of the time, man. They got to start out faster. But we said it together. The Ravens probably one of the best premier two-minute offenses. They knew how to get things done in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
In a flurry of activity. I tell you what, there's so many things to cover here. But what I love to touch on is just the poise, you know, in playing for Clarence Brooks. And I mean, we touched this on the Purple Friday preview. Every time there's a tragedy and adversity, this team just does it, man. I don't know what happens, what it does. It sparks us. I'm not saying that the death of Clarence Brooks at all had a play in it, because you don't want a tragedy like that to spark a team to win, but it happens. I mean, Brett Favre lost a father, had a career game on Monday Night Football in honor of his father. It happens. These things happen. Torrey Smith loses his brother. Has an epic 2-touchdown over, I think it was like almost 150 yards receiving and a win on Sunday Night Football against the New England Patriots that year. So you just think of things that happen. Adversity, there's usually when things happen with this team, and then what happened with Jermaine Lewis years ago, and then he returned the kickoff in the Super Bowl and pointed to the sky for his son drama when he happened in the Jets game, where if it wasn't for his returns in the Jets game in the year 2000, we probably wouldn't make the playoffs. So things happen when tragedy strikes. So just going back into team history here, not saying that somebody should die every Sunday, guys. I'm not driving that point home, or something bad should happen every weekend, but it just seems like the Ravens use that as fuel, or more fuel and emotions. And I heard that, I think a lot of players are more emotional coming out of the gates, and it maybe led to that over excitement and overzealousness of over pursuing and missed tackles and everything. But apart from it, you're right. It was good. It was bad. It was ugly. God awful ugly at times. But at the end of the day, the Ravens are 2-0. It's a win. And this one will be remembered for years to come. And I have to say this right now, two key additions, one new and then one obviously old but new because of the injury, but how different playmaker, or how these playmakers make the difference in the game, Brandon, Dennis Pitta and Mike Wallace, man.
For a guy that everyone was saying Mike Wallace was done, he was washed up, man, he's become a star real quick with the Ravens. I will have to say, though, I'm a little upset the fact that he's kind of taken the buzz away from Kamar Aiken, my boy. But, I mean, Wallace is getting it done. He's looking great. Joe and him work very well together. He's a guy you can count on in tight situations. He's quite a talent and a great pickup by the Ravens.
Right. Absolutely, man, and he's definitely showing it, and just the catches he's making out there, just he's dominating. I mean, he's got 3 touchdowns in 2 games. He had 2 on Sunday. It's just showing what he brings to the offense. It's definitely great. I loved seeing how Perryman was targeted in the end zone. Yeah, it got picked off. Joe Hayden played one game, man. He played outstanding against us, 2 picks on the day. You have to give it to Josh McCown. I don't know if you saw the video, and I retweeted it, even it was retweeted by Eric Weddle, that we're going to cover here later, some news about him. But McCown, after seeing that video, I give him respect. I know during the game I was yelling, I hate him, and oh my God, he always tortures us. Can we just knock him out of game, because he's just getting him on nerves? But it's because it was agitating, but because he does own us for some weird reason. He just owns this team. But what he said to come back, and he said, they asked him why he came back after he got hurt, and he said, because you know, paraphrasing him, you know, he wanted to be out there with his guys, and the snaps are short, and he don't know how long he has, and he doesn't want to miss a snap, doesn't want to miss a play in a game, so you have to hand it to him. And that, to me, just shows, you know, tough as nails football player. I mean, you're not going to say as far as McCown, yeah, he's not playing like a Raven, but that just shows heart, man. You have to respect that for the beanie he took against our defense. Every time he went back there, he paid for one of those throws that he threw in touchdown. But
Here's the thing, though. That all those hits he got, I mean, his offensive line didn't work well with him. Our defense got to him as much as possible. All legal hits, nothing late, nothing questionable, nothing dirty there, all legal hits. But, man, he was just getting gored. Like, he looked like, Brandon Williams and Timmy Jernigan and all those guys, they looked like Rhino, you know, going after people in the WWE ring. They were just getting gored. This guy was just... I mean, he has to have at least a couple cracked ribs. We know there's something going on with his shoulder. God, for 37, he took quite the beating.
He did, man. I don't know how he withstood all those hits, but got to give mad respect to the guy. It's just, you know, the way he played, I mean, just the whole game, you know, the team came, you know, ready to play. And we've always joked, and people always say the Ravens play down their opponents, and they can't come out lately. I mean, if this was the Patriots on Monday Night Football, we probably would have won a game by 20. But being it's the Browns on Sunday at 1, we almost lost the game. So it's definitely one of those things you have to be alarming, because we started off slow against the Browns team. But again, it's the AFC North. It's the Browns. It's an NFL team. Can't sleep on anybody, because even the worst team statistically and record-wise in the league could always beat us. I mean, the Dolphins were winless, and they got their only win against us 1 year. I mean, it happens, man. You can't sleep on anybody any given Sunday. It's my favorite phrase, because anything can happen. But I wanted to bring up a point here, man. Remember the first touchdown Coleman caught? And I was like, dude, he stepped out of bounds, and they still said it was a touchdown?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but I have to give credit to where credit's due. Tony Lombardi, Russell Street Report. I follow him a lot on Twitter. He's got some good insight. Good friends there at Russell Street. He posted a picture. He did step out of bounds, bro. You see the tippy toe of his toes? I'm looking at it right now. It's on Ravens' website. He shows his toe on the white, and it's clear as day. So, I mean, I have a Browns fan in the office, and the first thing he said was, you guys got lucky. That wasn't a taunting call, but I'm like, hey, I got ammo, because the touchdown is not a touchdown, bro. He stepped on the chalk, so that should have been taken off the board.
I mean, we saw last year how questionable refereeing can be. I mean,
yeah, but my point is, Brandon, you're right. You don't want to leave the game in the hands of the ref saying, well, if a call went this way or this way, but it's good for ammo to say, hey, because I don't know. I don't even know what that taunting call is about. I really didn't see the play happen. I'd seen replays. There's been stories about it. Webb says his account. Pryor says his account. Anyway, it would have been at the 10-yard line instead of 30. Next play, Mosley intercepts the ball. Game over. Epic way to end it. But I don't even know what happened on that play to begin with.
I mean, it was a standard play. What happened was that they both kind of went out of bounds. The Browns player was able to get the ball. Everything was okay with him. But what he did was he stood up, he dropped the ball, and Webb was underneath him, and it hit Webb in the shoulder, and they got him for taunting.
I think that's it. As I'm looking at the replay now, it's kind of like, but everybody was saying he didn't do it on purpose. But, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those ticky-tacky things. I thought it was iffy at best. But coming out of the gate, that just can't happen, especially arguing about calls and saying, well, with this call, it didn't come out. This call didn't come right. If they'd have made the pass interference call, it was holding. I mean, yeah, at the grand scheme of things, when a whole game's played, man, that's what happens. We always look at it microscopic and go, okay, well, here's the thing. If Chris Moore would have caught the ball, we had seven there. So there's a lot of ifs. There was a lot of plays out there on the field. But at the end of the day, man, 20 unanswered points, and then it went our way, 25 unanswered. 2-0 looks a lot better than 1-1, because the Steelers beat the Bengals in their game too. So we're tied at top of the first place with the Ravens, Steelers at 2-0. And 2-0, we haven't been 2-0, guys, since 2009. Every time we've been, I think, four times in the franchise, and not mistaken, we've each made the playoffs. So, hey, we have 14 games left. We already won two. We've won all four preseasons, haven't lost a game in regular season. Winning's good around here, man. Feels good.
And did you see, by any chance, I'll get to that in a minute. But it's important, let me just say, to win these opening games, to start strong, because at the stretch of things, end of November, December, you know, Christmas time's coming, those games are going to be rough. Much tougher opponents than what we're facing right now.
Yeah, it's only going to get tougher sledding, bro. If you looked at the schedule, it's not going
to
be pretty.
Absolutely. So it's really important that the Ravens come out with these early wins to stack them up so they can take some losses. You know, no one wants that, but, you know, they can take a loss or two and won't hit them as much. Because I don't know if you saw it or not, Joe had a locker room speech. And he's not really known for being the locker room speech leader. You know what I mean?
Right.
He had one, and it's called the boss's speech. Do you want
me to key it up? Because I have it here.
Do you have it?
This is my first time hearing it. So you heard it already?
I heard it already. It's one of – Joe doesn't say much in the actual words, but the way he says it, the points he brings up are huge. I mean, it's going to be – everything he says is absolutely true. And I like the fact that Joe's doing this, because Joe's a quiet guy. He's Joe Cool. He doesn't really say much in the locker room when it comes to this type of stuff. But what he said to these guys, I think, is good motivation for him.
Well, let's cue it up, man. And now I can already see pausing it. Harbaugh looks fired up. I love Harbaugh. I really hope he stays a coach till the day he retires. He's awesome. But let me fire this up here. I'm going to see if the sound system will cooperate with me. Hopefully we'll get a good sound on it. Here it is, guys. This is Joe's boss speech, like a boss. Let's do it.
Hey, listen. I'm proud to be around this group of men, all right? There's a bunch of bosses right there. Hey, this is going to make us better in the end. You hear me? This happens all the time. This is going to make us tough, mentally tough. Because come December, all these games are going to be like this. And guess who's going to have experience? We are. So let's go. Boss is on three. Okay. One, two, three.
Wow, man. I can hear the emotion in Joe's voice. I'm getting choked up, man. Wow. Dude, like a 1, 2, 3 bosses. That might be our call out too, man.
You know what? I think that's awesome. Going to be my new ringtone, as I'm going to steal that. 1, 2, 3 bosses is going to go off every time I get a text message.
Dude, that was awesome. I'm going to have to keep replaying that all week. And for people who always, there's, you know, and I put them aside, there's Flacco haters, but dude, the guy's a born leader, and he's just showing it more and more. Man, I love having him on our team. I love having him a part of a leader of this offense, and Mike Wallace and Dennis Pitt and company, and bringing these young guys up. And you got to coach up, man. And I know Flacco's probably said a few things. Chris Moore, keep his head up. You know, yeah, he's got to catch the ball. He's an NFL receiver. But at the end of the day, you know, plays are left on the field for both teams. You know, Browns could be saying the same things. Hey, if we'd have made this block, this run, this catch, this pass. But one thing I wanted to touch on, too, to cover this one in full, is the glaring weakness of third down, man. Me and you were sitting there, and I'm like, they can't get them off the field. The Ravens, they would get a stout on first and second, but it was even in third and long, they were getting burned by 10, 20, 30-yard bombs. And I'm like, you kidding me? You can't be winging it down the field, and these guys were just getting open. And I'm like, that's not the Ravens we knew. And it was kind of funny. We give up 160 total yards in the first four quarters of the season, and we give up almost 200 yards and 20 points in the first quarter. And it was just weird how night and day, man. Everybody was like, hey, the Ravens are number one statistical offense after 1 week. Now it's like we're probably last. But, I mean, I've seen some pretty bad scores this NFL where two teams put up 40 points this weekend. So Cardinals and Panthers both put up 40-plus points. So it's definitely something to note that the Ravens couldn't get them off on third down, man. And that's what prolonged drives.
It does. It absolutely does. The Ravens, they definitely have some stuff to work on. I'm glad you pointed that out, because like we said, this is an ugly game. But going back to what Joe said, I like the fact he brought up that this is how those games are in December. Hopefully, you know, the Ravens can get to January football and January Joe can show up again. But this is exactly like what those games are. And this is a very young team. You know, we have talked about it all through the preseason. We talked about it last week. This is a very young team. We do have Wallace. We do have Eric Weddle. We do have Steve Smith. We do have Joe Flacco. But there's a lot of rookies. There's a lot of talent on here that's still learning on the field. Look at Breshad Perriman, who missed so much time. They've never experienced a game like this before. So, yeah, it sucks that the Ravens didn't make as many plays as they could have. but it's good that it happened this early on in the season, and it's good that they were able to come out with a win, because this is something that those rookies can carry on the rest of the season and know that, you know, if one thing goes wrong, if they do one thing wrong, they still can come back. They can still win a game. They can still put their heart and soul into it and come out with a win.
They can, man, and that's what the Ravens are all about. Every time I say fly high and every time I wish them well throughout the week at signing off, that's the way it goes, man. You know, we're Ravens. We fly high. They play hard. They play like Ravens. There's resilience. There's a lot of things you can put there, a lot of adjectives, a lot of, you know, verbs to describe that, and what it really comes down to is just the way this team resilience. And right, Joe's right. You know, these things will pay off. Yeah, this win might look minuscule now. Yeah, we're 2-0, but if we end up with 10, 11 wins – you know, what if that one win was a difference between a division win and a wild card spot on a road game? So who knows, if we get a division win, a home game, and we're in the divisional round, we get a good matchup. You know, there's building blocks there, not to look ahead, but there's the things you keep in mind when you're winning these football games. And hey, if we're supposed to win 10, 11 games this year, you know, we're right there, man. We're just under around 20, 25% of that, you know, 18%. So again, great win, great hard fought win. I was happy to be a part of it, man. All the emotions, everybody was like, man, I wish I could just take off work, because it was one of those, like, I had a friend of mine call me. He's like, man, I feel like I need to call out of work tomorrow. And I said, why? He goes, I'm just exhausted after that. I said, I know, man. It's just one of those games for the ages where you're feeling every emotion, and then it was like, okay, we had one score. I knew it, and I was like, I even told you. I said, we score right for the half, get the ball back. There we were. We were within score. We were right there. And it was just – it just kept building and building, and then it just – you knew it. When we got within 19 and 20 and we made a couple of stops and said, all right, this is our time. We take the lead. It's ours. It's ours for the taking. So I have to hand it to this team, man. I'm very proud to be – a part of this organization as far as a fan, you know, putting my heart and soul into it, bleed purple and black. I love it. I love just being a part of the culture, a part of what we're all about, man. It's great to cover them. Second biggest comeback in team history. I was there. I wasn't there in person this time, but I was there for the biggest comeback when we were down the Cardinals 24-3, and we came back. It was a game here in Baltimore a few years back and won that game. So it's definitely been a great to be a part of history. And I definitely can't wait to celebrate with you, because we have a celebration tomorrow, man. We, me and you, get to go to see Eric Weddle.
That's right. That's right. He's doing a radio show and an autograph signing around Baltimore, and you and I are going to check it out, and hopefully going to get to tell him how big of fans we are, and hopefully get some autographs from Eric Weddle, Fear the Beard.
And he got a pick on Sunday. His first pick as a Raven. Beyond that,
he did. Yeah,
he finally got a turnover.
He looked good. He's bringing that veteran mindset to the team. He's looking great. He's acting like he's been a Raven his whole life.
Absolutely. He has that swagger, and I just really can't wait to see what he brings, you know, for the rest of the season. But right now, it's been great for us, and I have to get this to you. I don't know if you saw this, but do you know who? Because I wanted to check on this for you, but I'm going to look at the replay, because I really want to validate this, because I was very excited to see this. But do you know who blocked the extra point to get it started?
No, I don't, actually.
I'm actually looking it up here to see if I'm right, because I don't want to make this mistake. I'm actually looking at the replay again. Let me look at it. Let's see. I think it was our good old friend who had a one stellar preseason, dude. It was Anthony Levine, man.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Wow. All right.
Yep.
Good 41. For him.
I knew I saw him coming through there, and I was like, because I wanted to just give credit where credit's. I was like, wonder who blocked that, because I knew he returned it. I was like, I wonder who blocked it, but 41 came in and got it.
That's really cool. Good for him. I mean, working hard in the preseason, still working hard in the regular season.
Dude, he's been all over the map, and I was very excited when he made the team in the final cuts. I mean, we already went through those disappointments, but, you know, dude, he just showed why he's in the position he's in, man.
Yeah, and if there's one takeaway, though, on the offense, I don't want to stop the show on a downer, but at the same time, there's definitely work to be done with the tight ends, with the wide receivers. Joe was doing a pretty good job throwing the ball, but man, that they were just bouncing off of people's fingertips. I mean, Crockett Gilmore, a couple other guys, they definitely need to work and put a little extra work in this week with Joe and get that timing down a little bit better.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's all it's about and doing work. I mean, we've always stressed enough that that's why we, you know, they should play more in the preseason, but that's another story. But for the most part, I mean, you're going to get it. But, I mean, we're winning football games and they're learning. What happens if we actually they click and we start getting it? So, again, it's going to come down to, you know, the cohesiveness of the offense and the defense in total. But, hey, two wins and they're learning. I'll take that, brother.
Yeah, and this is something I think we should keep an eye on offensively throughout the season. Mark Trestman, I don't know if he's very good with time management. It was a problem we had last year. I think we're still having the same thing. Justin Forsett, 3 minutes left in the game, runs out of bounds, stops the clock, and the Ravens are working, you know, they're doing their thing, and the time stopped, but then they burned a timeout because they weren't on the same page. So I do think that the offensive coordinator, Mark Trestman, does have to work on that a little bit more on his time management skills, because I thought at the first, I'm like, all right, good. They're going to stop the clock, and they're going to work their way to the two-minute warning at the end of the game, and Joe's going to be able to get a playoff. But then they just, man, they got a miscommunication, didn't know what they were doing, and had to burn a timeout. That was just a bad call.
Yeah, man, that can't happen. I mean, we've always said that. What I was impressed with week one is how we kept, you know, the Bills offense off the field and kept that command of the lead and control of the ball. And the Ravens, they kind of, in week two, kind of got away from what working and didn't have the ball control and didn't have that time management and let the Browns have a couple of last gaffes there. And that can't happen, man. We got to finish games, close out. You know, we don't have to worry about it. How I signed 2020 that we won the game. But, yeah, better clock management. I couldn't agree with you more.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for what I saw with the game. But, you know, I do have some gripes with the team. But overall, man, winning is winning. And the thing that impressed me the most was the fact that this team was able to play an entire 60 minutes. I knew the way the Browns were playing, by halftime, they were going to be tired. They weren't going to be able to withstand the Ravens, because the Ravens never stopped. They kept coming and coming and coming. This team is built for 60 minutes. It's built for that December, January football that Joe's talking about. And that's evident even in week two, early on in the season. So Ravens continue to have that stamina and have that ability to play a full 60 minutes, and I'm not worried at all. Yes, there's things to work on. That's with everything in life. But right now, I like what the Ravens are doing, even though it ain't pretty, but it's Ravens football.
It's not ever pretty, but it's us.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Just like I promised in our Facebook Live, we covered this one from the not only from the north, not only in the south, we covered it in the east, but we're definitely got it in the west.
All right. Thank you, Terrence West from Towson University. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, it's easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Man, they can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
And I want to pull up a tweet from a very loyal call listener, good friend of ours. Let me pull that up here. He got himself some brand new purple boots, do some mud hole stomping into a couple Steeler fans, I think. Jason Morris, check him out. He's on Twitter, and he does blogs and stuff about like holiday specials and movies. So, you know, I'm a huge Christmas fan. He's a big Ravens fan. So check him out on Twitter. Buying some purple sneakers. Gonna be like your Under Armour shoes, man. I mean, those things are.
I'll have to check those out. Yeah, I mean, my Under Armour sneakers are a big hit. Everybody loves them.
Absolutely. I think a bigger hit over the weekend was your Raven Eyes.
Oh, everybody loved those, man. That was awesome.
All right, guys. For more information about The Call, all you got to do is go over to Facebook, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. A friend of ours from Montreal, Ravens Nation.
Yeah, I saw that, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Montreal.
Worldwide. And he's just so lucky because he has Tim Hortons right down the street. Get some Timbits before a game.
Really? Hey, there you go, man. And you know what's funny? I saw that. I wanted to bring it up. Speaking of Ravens Nation Worldwide, when I listened to a clip of the game on the radio this past weekend, Jerry Sandusky said they checked the Ravens Twitter feed during the game. There was people in Prague in the Czech Republic listening to the game.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
And of course, Q chimes in. Wonder what time it is over there. So actually, I put it in my notes to see what time it was in Prague at kickoff during Ravens games. I meant to do that, but I'm actually do it this Sunday to see what time it is in Prague. And I might post that on Sunday on Twitter saying, It's 1 o'clock here in the East Coast, and we're about to kick off Ravens Jags. But it's whatever time it is in Prague, and they're enjoying it. So I don't know if it's in the night, if it's in the early morning, if it's I don't know how the world keep time going over there. So I'm gonna have to look. So but I just love it, man. Montreal, that's awesome. Just add another one to the list.
That's right. So go over to Facebook, like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Don't forget, the game day previews are now moved over to Facebook. We are doing them live, so you guys can interact with us on Sunday mornings if you got any Ravens questions. So Josh or I or both of us will be on Facebook Live during the game day preview, talking about big points of the game, and you guys can ask us questions, so make sure you check that out. Guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know. Write us an iTunes review. Give us 5 stars and let everybody know that we are your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone, maybe with a new iPhone 7 Plus. I've got the case for the iPhone 7 Plus. I just don't have the phone yet.
Oh, man, that's backwards. You need the phone first, bro.
All right, guys. Let everybody know. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. It's been great to cover this one. Second biggest comeback in Ravens history. We've heard it all. We've heard the folklore. We've heard the stories. But the legend is true. This football team, it's definitely not pretty. It's definitely not exotic. It's downright ugly at times. It's sometimes good. Most of the time is good, but at the end of the day, it is us, and us means Ravens Nation. Wow, we can also breathe after this one, a sigh of relief. What a comeback. I mean, 25-20 Ravens, and did it in just great style, and just gave us a great show for Sunday afternoon, and just some great stories for the week leading up to the next game. And guys, just, you know, get back, get your win back on you. I know this was a big one to take out of us, because this took every emotion possible, every fiber in our bodies, you know, every, you know, pill we popped to alleviate the headaches, every, you know, ounce of excitement, ounce of agony, ounce of anxiousness, it's all gone because we won the game. We are 2-0, flying high into the week. Like Joe said, like a boss, Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.